I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'd like to read from verse 9 to verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1. If you're there, the Bible says this: "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Amen. The context of the passage describes the prayer of the Apostle Paul. If you remember the consideration of our book of Colossians the last time, we thought upon the faith, the love, and the hope that the Colossian Christians manifested in their life. And you would think that when Apostle Paul, as the spiritual father, as the pastor of this church, as he thought upon these things, he would be filled with thanksgiving. And indeed he was. He was very thankful for the faith, the love, and the hope that they manifested, that others had heard of it. And now Epaphras, the Bible tells us, brought this good report to the Apostle Paul. And that was what we thought upon the last time. But now, having seen the faith, love, and hope in the Colossian Christians, the Apostle Paul went on to pray for them. You may wonder and ask why. Then that was what we read in verse 9. The Bible says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." It is very interesting, because the Apostle Paul says, hearing of these good reports, we pray for you. You would think that Apostle Paul would say that we heard bad reports about you. We heard that you were disharmonious, you were arguing, you were fighting, you were quarreling, you had false teachers creeping into your church. Then we prayed for you. But not so. Apostle Paul said, we heard about your faith, love, and hope. And because we heard of these things, all the more we want to pray for you. Apostle Paul realized that even though these Christians manifested these godly virtues in their life, it was no cause for complacency. Just because they have been growing in the past, just because they have been faithful in the past, this does not mean that they will continue in the faith. This is why Apostle Paul prays for them more earnestly, that they must continue the growth. They have been faithful, they have been fruitful. Much more now, they must continue to grow. They must not be complacent. They must not think that the devil will spare them. The devil will let go of them. The devil will cease in their tempting of them. Often when we are in spiritual victory, when by God's grace we are tasting times of spiritual refreshment, this is when the devil will come and try to snatch us away, which is why the Apostle Paul now prays for them. And his prayer consists essentially of two things. First, the Bible says that he prays that they might be filled, in the last part of verse 9, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he prays for them, having heard of their faith, love, and hope. He prays that they will be filled, they will be completed. It's like not just they start in their growth, but they will mature, they will continue to be perfected. They will be filled with the will of God, with the knowledge of God's will. So they will be filled with God's word, in other words. That was his first prayer. And then secondly, having been filled with the knowledge of God's will, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Having known, having understood, having been filled with God's word and God's will, now he prays that they will obey the word of God. And this is our consideration for this afternoon, walking worthy of the Lord. the second aspect of Apostle Paul's prayer. You know, when we think of the theme of this church, take root downward and take bear fruits upward, you realize that a lot of the success to this theme depends on you and me, on the Christians, on the people. Yes, it depends on the leaders, the activities that they plan, the Bible studies that they will organize, the meetings, the church seminars, conferences, all these things that they can plan for the church. It depends on them. What a kind of focus, the goal. These are very important things. But a lot of the success to the fulfilling of this theme depends on you and me. It depends on our walk. And that is what Apostle Paul is really describing here, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Just because you have knowledge, just because you know the will of God, it doesn't mean that you are now spiritually vibrant, you are spiritually alive. Just because you have these things in your mind, it is not good enough. That is what the Bible says. You must now obey. You must manifest it in your life. You must grow. And growth is seen in your obedience to God's word. You know, there's an illustration that we can liken growth to. You think about a plant, a flower. There are many different kinds of plants. Real ones and fake ones. You look at some of the designs and the creations of these artificial flowers. There are many different kinds. Some made of plastic, some made of cloth. And then there are very expensive ones made up of gold, silver. You can just go to the internet and check. You know, people would spend money to buy golden roses made of gold, 24 carats gold, and so on and so forth. This kind of plant, when you look at them, it looks very nice. Some is rose gold, you know, this pinkish color gold. Very nice, very beautiful. But you put them under the sunlight. You water them every day. You put fertilizer. You realize that these plants will not grow because they are thick. No matter how beautiful they may look, some may even have fragrance. These cloth artificial flowers, they will put some kind of perfume so that it can emit some kind of fragrance. You can even smell. But these are fake plants. They will not grow. The problem with many Christians or professing Christians sometimes is that we look like Christians. We talk like Christians. We participate in the activities that other Christians would participate in. But we don't grow. You may water, you may add fertilizer, you may put them under the sunlight, but they won't grow. This is why obedience, growth seen in the obedience to God's word is so important. You must not just only know God's word, but you must obey God's word. And that is what Apostle Paul will emphasize. Of course, if you do not know God's word, you cannot obey because you do not know what to obey. But having heard and having learned, having known, having understood, having memorized, having read God's word, now it is our duty to obey. And by God's grace, although I'm new to Calvary Tengah, having observed Calvary Tengah for the past 2 months, I believe that God has blessed this church with a lot of opportunities to study God's word in the youth fellowship, in the Bible study groups that you have, through prayer meetings, through seminars, through your discussion groups, SVC, BBK, Sunday pulpit ministry. You have a lot of opportunities to know God's word. So increase in the knowledge of God's word. But having done all these things, now walk worthy of the Lord. And this is the thing we want to consider. Firstly, walk. What is walk? The word that the Apostle Paul used here, walk, describes a walking about, moving from place to place. He describes the whole Christian life. The tense that the Apostle Paul used here describes the walk as a whole. You must walk. In other words, your whole life must be a walk. Some would understand this walk as describing the Christian's conduct, the Christian's life. And it is correct. The walk here describes your whole being, your whole self. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Your whole life presented before the Lord. When we think of our walk, the truth that we can learn is that the Christian must not remain stagnant. To obey God's word, to grow. Do you realize that if you are not walking, if you are not growing, you are backsliding? There's no such state in the Christian life where you are not growing, you are not degressing, you are not deteriorating, but you are just remaining stagnant in your Christian life. There's no such thing. When you remain stagnant, you are decaying. You are backsliding. The Bible speaks of either a person who is progressing, walking in faith, walking in the Spirit, or the person who is yielding to temptation. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible always contrasts these two things. If you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you are not walking in the Spirit. If you are walking in the Spirit, you will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. If you are not walking, you are not progressing in your Christian faith. And this is a sad thing. We think that our state of lack of growth is fine. As long as I don't commit grave sin, as long as I'm not an adulterer, as long as I'm not a psychopathic liar, a prolific liar, someone who keeps lying, telling falsehood, deceiver, as long as not, I'm not manipulative, even though I don't grow, even though I don't walk the Christian walk, it is okay. In my workplace, in my school, as long as I'm not a bad person, but I'm not a very godly Christian, it's okay. This is the kind of mindset that some of us have. But Apostle Paul tells us, you must walk. There is a walk that Christians must walk. This Christian life that we must live. This is one of Apostle Paul's favorite expressions. When you read through the book Epistle of Ephesians, you will see at least 5 times Apostle Paul talks about the Christian walk. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk redeeming the time. Why? Why is it so important? This is really the hallmark of a Christian. A Christian must be walking, moving about, having a direction in his life. Have you been walking your Christian walk? Have you been living a Christian life? If you're not walking a Christian walk, then what kind of life have you been living? As a parent, daily, have you been wandering about with no purpose, with no sense of direction? As a youth, what is the purpose, the goal of your life? What do you want to achieve at the end of your life? Is there a conduct to your life that people can see, people can observe? There must be a walk. But what kind of walk? That's the second thing Apostle Paul now tells us. It must be a worthy walk. So, we say we want to walk now. We want to progress. We want to grow. So how? What kind of walk must it be? Now Apostle Paul tells us, look at verse 10, the Bible says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It must be a worthy walk. How should we walk? The word worthy describes a fitting manner. Something that is fitting to your status. Walking in a suitable manner. Walking as you ought to be. Now, this does not mean that we by ourselves are worthy of the Lord. Apostle Paul is not saying that we by our good works can make ourselves worthy of the Lord. That is not the emphasis of the Apostle Paul here. But what he's saying is that having been in the Lord, recognizing what God has done for us in the past, seeing what God is doing for us today, knowing what God will continue to do for us, we must walk worthy of the Lord. No, this worthiness is described to us by the Apostle Paul also in Philippians chapter 1 verse 27, where he says, let your conversation be as it becometh. The word becometh there is the same word for worthy. Let your conversation, let your conduct be as someone who is worthy, fitting, becometh your calling. This word is also used by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. walk in a fitting manner to your calling. Do you realize that you have a calling? Not only those who are called to the full-time ministry have a calling. When you look at pastors, you expect a certain standard of them, right? The way they carry themselves, the way they talk, the way they speak. Then sometimes when a pastor, a full-time minister, just let his guard down for a while with his friends, then he jokes. Then he says, "Hey, I didn't know the pastor can be like that one. No, how come?" And things, he did not do anything wrong, but you just, there's something that is not fitting to him. We have that kind of mindset, and we have that expectation of pastors. If the pastor does something wrong, we would have to discipline him. We have to take very serious action against him, and rightly so. But how about the Christians? Shouldn't this kind of expectation be laid upon us as well? Do you realize that the qualifications that are given to us by the Apostle Paul of the elders and the deacons are really qualifications for all Christians? And then the Apostle Paul says, those who have fulfilled these qualifications, in other words, all Christians, every one of us, are expected to try, strive to meet these standards. And those who have been striving, and by God's grace have been meeting these standards, that amongst the church, you pick out these people to be your leaders. This means that these qualifications are not just for the elders per se. It is for everyone, all Christians. This is expected of us. How you bring up your children at home, leading a godly life, being blameless, being hospitable, being a woman, a one-woman man, all these qualifications, all these expectations are expected of us Christians. Walk worthy of your calling. You have a calling. Your calling to be Christians. Walk worthy, walk fitting. When you think of kings, of princes, of royalties, have you seen the way how they conduct themselves? The way they talk, the way they express themselves, the way they carry themselves? There's this aura about them, right? That you can see, that you know that this person is a royalty. When he appears before the public television, when he gives his speech, there must be some kind of behavior. Even when he's among his friends, just because he's a prince, he's a king, there's a certain expectation of him. How about for you and me as Christians? Have you been walking worthy of the Lord? I believe one reason why many Christians struggle to walk worthy of the Lord is because we are not conscious of the Lord. We have forgotten about our Lord. The problem is that we forget so easily. When assignment comes, when promotions come, when our work consumes us, when we are troubled in our family, we have to take care of our family. We have to pay the bills. When we have children, our kids are born to us. When work piles up, when we are distracted, all these things that comes into our life, we forget our Lord. We are no longer conscious of our God. This is why we do not walk worthy of our Lord, because we are not even thinking of our Lord. How to walk worthy of the Lord when you are not even conscious of who your Lord is? And so I believe that if we now come to a realization, think upon who our God is, think upon the salvation He has purchased for us, think upon the life we now have, being given as a gift by our God, how should you walk? How would you walk worthily of Him? How would you walk fitting to what the Lord has done for us? The effectiveness of our life, the effectiveness of our walk, the worthiness of our walk correlates very much to how conscious we are of our God. If we are not forgiving others, it is because we have forgotten how God has forgiven us. If we are not teaching others how to be saved, it is because we have forgotten the tragedy we were once in, the debts we were once in, the bondage we were once in, and how God has saved us from these things. You know, if we don't live a Christian testimony every day, it is because we have forgotten what God and Christ has done for us. If we have not been living in the victory of the cross, it is because perhaps we see no need for the cross in our life. Have you been conscious of your Lord? Walk worthy of the Lord. If you know who your God is, how you would walk worthy of Him. Walking worthy of the Lord also tells us we need to think upon our God. Not just think upon what He has done for us in all these aspects, but think upon the glory, think upon the greatness of our God. And think upon how we ought to be reflections of this glory. One reason why kings and princes have to carry themselves the way they do is because they have to represent the royal family. No one can see who this king or royalty is except through the lives of these kings and princes. No one can see the glory of our God. No one can see the greatness of our God except through the lives of Christians. Do you realize that? You know, an unbeliever who has no access to the Word of God, no access to the Bible, yes, he can look at the glory of God through creation. He can look at the wisdom of God through creation to a certain extent. But how else do you think your colleagues at your workplace, your friends in school, how will they know of the love of God, the greatness of God, the mercies of God? How will they know of the glories of God except if His people walk worthy of their Lord? If we don't walk worthy of the Lord, how will others see the glory of God? Walk worthy of the Lord. Then Apostle Paul now tells us the third thing. Our Christian walk must also be a pleasing walk. This is what the Apostle Paul says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This expression simply means that we walk with a view to pleasing God in all things. We walk in a worthy manner. To what end? To what purpose? To please our God. As simple as that. The Christians must be called to be a one audience people. Now, what does it mean to be a one audience people? That in our lives, we just seek to please one. To please our God. We don't think so much of what others may think of us, how others may praise us, how others may give us titles and accolades, but we think only of what God will think of us. What do you want to hear at the end of your life? What do you want to achieve at the end of your life? What would you consider a success at the end of your life? Is it not just to hear your God calling out to you, saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Would you not serve, would you not live for an audience of one, that is your God? You know, a concert pianist, sometimes he may play for 1,000 or 10,000. But the concert pianist, he is not concerned so much of what others may think of him, because they may not appreciate music the way he do. They may not understand the complexity of the piece that he was playing. So this concert pianist would not care so much if 10,000 people are clapping for him. He is just concerned, and he will just look at his teacher. What does his teacher think of him? The one who has taught him everything. The one who first introduced him to music. The one who really understands him. Concert pianists would do that. They play for an audience of one. Would you live your life for an audience of one? Your God? Live with a view to pleasing God in all things. Now the word please here is a very interesting word that the Apostle Paul used. He says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Because this word please does not just describe an action. When you try to do things to please a person, the actions that you do to please a person, it describes that, but not just that. It really describes the whole attitude, the whole goal of your life. It describes the intention of the person. It describes the motive of a person. The desire of a person, in other words, to please his God. His whole desire, his whole passion, his zeal, his will is to please God. His whole attitude, his whole way of life is driven to please God. And then it is manifested in the actions. This is why Apostle Paul used the same word in a negative way in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6 to describe man pleasers. He says, don't be like man pleasers, where their whole attitude is that of pleasing men. Do you know of any man pleaser? Yes men, those whom we call yes men in your office. Sometimes they are very irritating, right? Those in your workplace. You know, those who like to flatter the boss. And all, they do everything to please the boss. Then sometimes they come behind you and then they complain to you how unhappy they are. But in front of their boss, oh, they will do everything. They just follow the boss like a glorified errand boy. Right? And then they just follow, do everything. Get me this, get me that, print this, print that, do this, do that. Yes, boss, yes, boss, yes, boss, I'll do everything. Do you know of somebody like that in your office, your workplace, in your school? We are very irritated with this. But you see how the extent they would go to please their boss. Sometimes they have to even humiliate themselves just to please their boss. Why? Well, their purpose, their goal is so that perhaps they can climb up the career ladder, they can get something out of it. They have a hidden agenda. They do it with that motive. Now, for Christians, we do it for a different motive, with a different motive. We have no ulterior motive. We do it out of sincerity. We do it out of love. But you see the kind of commitment this kind of man-pleasers have. If they can be so committed with an ulterior motive, how much more we Christians who claim to love our God, who claim to worship our God, who claim to have given all to follow our God, how much more committed ought we to be in pleasing our God? Have you been pleasing your God in all things? To what extent would you go to please your God? Would you sacrifice some things to please your God? When you worship God on the Lord's Day, youth especially, can you just put your phone away for 1 hour, for 2 hours? Is that too much to ask to please your God? Or cannot? This is something more important to me than God. How about parents? What are the things that you would sacrifice to please your God, especially for your children's sake? Would you teach them the things of God? Would you teach them the Word of God? You spend so much time giving them tuition, piano lesson, art class, ballet classes, all the other different classes. To what end? To what goal? To what purpose? How about your desire to please your God? And that includes your child. When you first received your child from the Lord, you said it was a blessing. You consecrated your child to the Lord, right? That's why you brought your child for infant baptism. Would you now teach your child also to please your God? Would you please your God in all things? This is what Apostle Paul says. This is the kind of commitment Christians need to have to pleasing their God. It can be from small things, little things, to big things in life. Apostle Paul says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, all, the word describes all spheres of a Christian's life. That includes your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional life, all aspects of your life. You must live your life to please your God. You must seek to please your God in all things. Whether it is in church, you please your God. Whether it's in your family, you please your God. Whether it's in your workplace, you please your God. You must, in school, even in your holidays, when you are having your vacation, you seek to please your God in every area of your life. In employment, in recreation, in entertainment, in your hobbies, wherever it may be, seek to please your God. You know, some of us have this concept of what it means to be a Christian. Not sure whether you have done this game before. When we were in youth fellowship groups, last time we have some kind of activities. One of these activities is that we will be given a piece of paper and we'll be asked to write down the priorities of our lives. You know, what are the most important things that you have in your life? So, of course, we'll write down a list of things that are important to us. And first in this list must always be God, right? Because that is the correct answer. So we always write, God must be first place in our lives. Then after that, we will write, our family will be second. Then after that, we will write, our friends be third. Sometimes as youths, they put friends above family. Then after that, they will write studies fourth. Then they write entertainment fifth and things like that. Okay, this is the correct answer. If you ask a person for his genuine priority, it may be very different. But we will write a list of things that we see as important in our life. But do you see the flaw with this? Because they said this is your priority. You put God first, then your family second, your friends third, and all these things. But do you see the flaw with this? Is that it's not really, when we say we put God first, when we seek to please God, it's not really God first, and then our family second, and so on and so forth. Shouldn't God be in every one of these items? Whether it's our family, God must be in it. Whether it's in our relationship with our friends, we still must seek to please God. Whether it's in our studies, our workplace, we do it to please our God. In every item, every area in our life, God ought to be our priority. Because some of us have this mindset, as long as I fulfill my duties to God, God is first. So after I fulfill my duties to God, the rest of the time is mine. I can do whatever I want. I can study in any way I want. I can work anyhow I want. After I fulfill my duties to God, the rest of my life is mine. But that is not so. This is why Apostle Paul says, unto all pleasing, in all spheres of life, every areas of life, we need to live to please our God. Walk worthy of unto the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This must be your calling and this must be my calling. We have considered the walk, the Christian walk. It must be a worthy walk. It must be a pleasing walk. Have you been walking this walk? You know, have you ever wondered why the devil keeps tempting Christians? Why must the devil lay snare? Why go through all this effort? Why must he seek us out as a roaring lion? The Bible tells us our salvation is secure. No one can take away our salvation. Our salvation in Christ is eternally secure. And this is the promise we have. So the devil knows he cannot take away our salvation. But what can he rob us of? He can rob us of the joy of our salvation. Don't we realize that? And taking away the joy of our salvation, he will remove the effectiveness of our service. When we do not have the joy to serve the Lord, we will not be effective in service. Wherever we may be, these temptations, these pleasures, these snares of the world, it takes away our usefulness for God. This is what the devil will try to do to us. This is why the walk is so difficult. There are distractions around us. There are temptations that surround us. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Apostle Paul will go on to tell us how to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, I will just go through very briefly. There are four things that the Apostle Paul mentions. How to walk worthy of the Lord. Assuming now you say, yes, I want to walk worthy of the Lord. I want to please the Lord. I want to walk in a way that is fitting to my calling, honoring to the Lord. So how? Bible says here, be fruitful in verse 10. Okay, just four things that are mentioned. Being fruitful in every good work. Second, increasing in the knowledge of God. Third, strengthened with all might. And fourth, giving thanks unto the Father. So you want to walk worthy of the Lord? Now, these four things the Bible tells us. Be fruitful, bearing fruits, increasing in the knowledge of God. Continue in your growth in the Word of God. Be a man, be a woman of the Word of God. You know, sometimes people try to be very complicated. How can a Christian grow? We try to find ways and methods and means that a Christian may grow. But don't you realize it's actually very simple? Be a man and woman of the Word of God, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the way to grow. This is why we have the RPG. Read, pray, grow. We even have the song, read your Bible, pray every day. That's the way to go. It's so simple. But the problem with us is that it's too simple. Is it too simple for us? It's so simple that I do not want to do it. This is why for the habit for many Christians, the motto of our life with regard to God's Word is what? Read my Bible as little, as late as possible. Correct? Read my Bible as little as possible, as late as possible. That seems to be the motto of our life. That's the problem with us. You want to walk worthy of the Lord, increase in the knowledge of God. And be strengthened. You know, verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might. It's actually in the passive voice. In other words, you can read it this way. Be strengthened with all might. Submit to the empowering of God. Submit to the empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is a comfort for Christians. Because in our Christian walk, we feel tired. We feel weary. Sometimes we are depressed. We failed. We have stumbled. We have fallen. Can we still continue our walk? Be strengthened. Be strengthened with the might of our God. Do not just walk in your own strength. Do not just walk with your own wisdom. But be strengthened in the Lord. And walk this walk. Walk this walk with thanksgiving. With joy. You know how happy this walk can be? No. Yes, it will have problems. Yes, there will be struggles. But how thankful you can be. As the Lord sees you through each of these obstacles. As you overcome each one of these obstacles in your life. How happy, how joyful you can be. Don't you remember the time where this temptation came? You were struggling with it. You went on your knees. You asked the Lord for strengthening. And how the Lord delivered you from this temptation. Give thanks unto the Lord. Don't you remember the time where you were in fear? You were filled with doubt. And you pray before the Lord. And the Lord encouraged you through His Word. Give thanks unto the Lord. The Christian life can be a life of thanksgiving. Can be a joyful life. A life of praise unto the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So this afternoon we have seen these few points. The walk. Christians must be in this walk. We cannot stop growing. We cannot be stagnant. We cannot be in cruise control. Just cruising through our life. Cruising into heaven. We must walk this walk. Let this walk be a worthy walk. A walk that's fitting of our Lord. Of the glory of God, of the calling that God has given to us. Let this walk be a pleasing walk. Our commitment to the Lord, how we want to honor Him, how we want to bring Him joy. Let this walk be a pleasing walk. How to have this walk? Four things mentioned. Be fruitful. Increase in your knowledge of God. Strengthen, be strengthened with all might. And give thanks to the Lord always. And you know how wonderful this Christian life will be? How joyful this Christian life would be? How satisfied this Christian life would be when you walk in this way? Now our theme this year is to take root downward, bear fruits upward. But a lot depends on you. You and me, the ones who will be walking this walk. So will you walk? Let us pray.